In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the greatest period of martyrdom in the history of the church. It's been unsurpassed up until now. And that's the martyrs under the communist yoke in Russia. The communists attempted to create a society that went against everything that we have learned from human history, everything we know about economics, and everything that we even know about human nature. But they believed that their ideology, if forced upon the population, would result in this wonderful utopia. And because they were so convinced of the justness of their ideology, they were prepared to commit the most brutal and inhuman acts ever recorded in history. It's hard for us to comprehend the murder of millions of people. But what I would like to do today is to talk about just some of the more notable people who were killed 100 years ago this year in 1919. First, commemorated on January 1st of the church calendar, January 14th on the civil calendar, we commemorate the new higher martyr Platon, Bishop of Revel in Estonia, and those with him. After the Bolshevik Revolution, Estonia, like most of the Russian Empire, was thrown into chaos. And then it experienced a period of German occupation. During this time, the higher martyr Platon was elected first to be the Bishop of Tallinn and then made the Metropolitan of Riga. And during that period of time, he managed to put the Estonian church back into good order, and things were going fairly well. But World War I ended, and so it ended in November of 1918, and so the Germans withdrew their troops on December 19th of that same year, which allowed the Soviets to move in. As soon as they got in, they arrested about 500 people. About 300 of those people were shot. Metropolitan Platon was not arrested immediately because he was ill, but as soon as he was released from the hospital, he was arrested along with two senior priests. The White Army was able to expel the Bolsheviks from Estonia, and Estonia actually became an independent country up until the beginning of World War II. But when the Bolsheviks were preparing to retreat, they decided to execute the most important prisoners that they still had. And so they took 20 prisoners, including Metropolitan Platon and his two priests, to a nearby bank, and there they executed them. The higher martyr Platon's body revealed traces of 7 bayonet wounds, 4 bullet wounds, one of which at the time was called a dum-dum bullet. Now we would call it a hollow point, but it was shot right into his right eye. And the fingers of his right hand were doing this, because he was making the sign of the cross. On Theophany, we commemorate the new higher martyr Andrew Zimmern, along with his family, his mother, his wife, and his two daughters. He celebrated the vigil for the feast, but the next day, the people came to the church for the liturgy, and the priest didn't come. And they found him and his entire family dead. The Bolsheviks had burst into his home that night. They tortured his family in front of his eyes. They raped his wife and his daughters. They killed them. But they didn't shoot him right away. What they decided to do was to take a door off of its hinges, throw him on the ground, and then to stand on that door until they crushed him. After he died and word got out, it was discovered that he had written a letter to a relative and a friend, the professor of theology at the University of Vladivostok, proto-priest John Konoplev. And he wrote this letter and he asked him to only open it when he heard that he had been killed. When he opened the letter, he read that the higher martyr Andrew had a vision of exactly what would happen, and he described it in great detail. That was what preserved him. He knew that God was at work. God revealed to him beforehand what would happen. That was how he was able to endure. On January the 14th, according to the church calendar, the Bolsheviks executed the last four Romanovs that they had inside the country. The princes, Paul, Nicholas, Dmitri, and George, they were treated harshly in their imprisonment. Finally, on this day, they were stripped to their waist in minus 4 Fahrenheit weather, and they were dragged out to the shooting range where they were shot. One was so weak that he had to be carried there on a stretcher. On June the 23rd, according to the church calendar, we celebrate the new higher martyr Mitrophan, Archbishop of Astrakhan, along with Bishop Leontius and those with them. The clergy of Astrakhan had decided that they would care for the sick and the wounded soldiers of both sides. This was during the very beginning of the Russian Civil War. So they were caring for both the Red Army and the White Army. But when the Bolshevik army got the upper hand and took the city, all the clergy, including these bishops, were murdered in the most brutal of ways. On December the 6th, according to the church calendar, we celebrate the new higher martyr Philip Rospopov. He lived in Siberia. He was dragged from his home before the eyes of his Mashka and his five young children. They insulted him, they beat him, they tortured him, trying to get some information that they thought that he had, which he didn't. This was again during the war, so they thought maybe he had some communication with the White Army. They weren't able to get anything out of him other than words of prayer. So finally, they threw him through a hole in the ice of the Amur River, where he received his martyric death. Then on December the 27th, according to the church calendar, we celebrate the new higher martyr Tikhon, Archbishop of Voronezh, and 160 priests killed with him. After the retreat of the White Army from that city, these clergy followed the example of their bishop. The bishop said, "I can't leave my flock." And he didn't. He stayed there. And as did these priests. Some priests did leave, but 160 priests stayed. The old bishop was hung on the royal doors of the church in that same monastery church. Seven nuns were killed. They were thrown into a vat of boiling tar because they had participated in a malevolence for the White Army, or at least it was believed that they had. Our monk Nectarius, who was a graduate of the Moscow Theological Academy and became a teacher at the Voronezh Theological Seminary, he was killed by being dragged by his feet and his arms, having his limbs broken, wooden nails were driven into him, and then finally he was giving what the Bolsheviks called mockingly communion. They poured molten pewter down his throat. Before they did that, he prayed, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." There was a priest, George Snezarov, who was the priest of the hospital church of the Sign of the Mother of God. He was scalped. He received 63 wounds in his body. Nails and pins were thrust into his underneath his fingernails. He was so mutilated that his family only recognized him by his hands. Why do we celebrate these things? And why do I tell you these stories? Well, the martyrs, we celebrate their memory to prepare us for our own martyrdom. And you might think, well, what are the chances that we're ever going to face that? Well, you know what? If you lived in Russia in 1916, you probably would ask that same question. What are the chances? You were in a country that was devoutly Christian, had a Christian government. Even Lenin himself thought that Russia would be the very last country to become a communist country. But because of the devastation brought by World War I, Russia was in such a weakened state that it wasn't able to resist this very small group of people who were dedicated enough to take over the country and then to impose their ideology on everybody else. We have people that we are beginning to see increasingly in our own country that have ideologies that are not a whole lot different than this. Again, the things that they try to shove down our throats are things that defy everything we know about human nature. You may face the choice one of these days where you're either going to be going to prison or maybe even executed based on how you answer the question, how many genders are there? Science doesn't matter. Human nature doesn't matter. They think that they can reprogram people into being something that human beings have never been. If you want to see the closest thing to an actual functioning communist society in the sense of people sharing with one another, that's a monastery. Why is a monastery like that? Why does it work in a monastery? Because monks and nuns are living the life of the angels. If human beings were angels, communism would work. But atheists don't believe in angels, so communism doesn't work. They don't even strive to live that kind of a life. We have to prepare ourselves because we don't know what the future may hold. And if you prepare yourself for martyrdom, if you live to be an old person, and you die peacefully in your bed, you just get to inherit the kingdom of heaven anyway. So it won't be of any loss to you to prepare for that. But the way that things are going in this country and as crazy as things are getting, I think that we would be foolish not to be taking this very seriously and preparing ourselves. We need to be ready, and we need to follow the examples of these martyrs. Amen.